Israel steps up its rhetoric against Syria. Premier Benjamin Netanyahu claims Tel Aviv will have to act to prevent possible transfer of chemical weapons from Syria to Lebanon. Benjamin Netanyahu says the need for an intervention may arise in case of a government collapse in Syria. Israel's Minister of Military Affairs, Ehud Barak, made similar remarks earlier this week. Barak said Israeli intelligence agencies will monitor the situation in Syria at the moment the Syrian President Bashar al-Assad starts to fall. Meanwhile, tensions are building between Damascus and Tel Aviv in the occupied Golan Heights. Israeli forces are patrolling the area after two mortar shells landed near a border fence. An unnamed Israeli official says the mortars were clearly not intended to reach Israel. Well, to discuss this further now, joining us from studios in Washington is Randy Short. He's with the Baltimore chapter of the Southern Christian Leadership Conference. Many thanks for joining us here on Press TV, sir. Now, President Obama appears to be quite adamant in achieving the aim of regime change in Syria, as he made clear in his address today. For how long do you think the U.S. is going to try and do this in order to change the equations in the Middle East?
They're going to do that until they end up with the mishap of starting a Third World War. Because there is an unbalanced world since the collapse of the Soviet Union and the maniacal Russian nationalism of Vladimir Putin and the economic prerogatives of the People's Republic of China cause these countries to not be the kind of bulwark against the extreme unilateralism that the United States would like to exercise in the rest of the world.
Right now, Israel has already started implying that it is ready to invade Syria. It has already started a massive buildup at the Syrian border. How do you interpret that dynamic?
Well, you know, in many ways, the United States is almost like a foreign legion, a French foreign legion for Israel. The Israelis are terrified by the changes in the Middle East. They want to get rid of one of the last strong secular societies, and Syria has been strong and unwilling to bend to Israel. So they want to get rid of one of their enemies. And the United States foreign policy seems to say whoever Israel doesn't like, the United States will go in and destroy. I think that Israel has, Israel wants war. It needs war to survive. As people set themselves on fire in Israel because of poverty and problems there, Israel cannot exist as a society without war. It is adverse to peace. Peace would cause the Zionist regime to lose its power.
Right now, Syria has expressed its desire still to stick to Kofi Annan's six-point peace plan. Russia, earlier as well, speaking with the Italian Premier Mario Monti, reiterated the same stance with talking about a three-pronged approach, which spoke of a ceasefire first, then negotiations. But do you think that the situation in Syria has been escalated on purpose by certain players to bring it to a point of no return?
Absolutely. I mean, the desire was for a Libya outcome. Russia's veto on the Security Council undermined what they had planned. What they wanted was something like Libya, where when the Libyan government was able to resist these Salafist terrorists who are creating the problems, that's when the no-fly zone was all put in to make certain that that state couldn't resist these people. The success of the Assad regime in crushing these so-called al-Qaeda in service of the United States and Israel and Saudi Arabia, they had hoped that they could get the UN sanction so they could go in and destroy that society. And since that failed, they've ramped it up. They thought they had their people situated in Damascus and Aleppo, and they've been beaten. So now they've become more belligerent. And also, everyone who's bothering Syria has major domestic problems. Saudi Arabia's deputy intelligence officer was blown up. You nearly had riots in two American cities this last week, in Charlotte, North Carolina, and Anaheim, California. You had the mass killings in Colorado. In Israel, you have mass protests against racism and poverty. These societies are trying to divert the attention of their people away from what's wrong in these neoliberal societies and creating war based on hatred and sectarianism.
Right. Also, you touched on the role of Russia and China. In the case of Syria, they have come out as staunch supporters of security and stability. Now, meanwhile, Washington is trying to pacify the protests in other countries, as you mentioned, like Bahrain and Saudi Arabia. Why don't China and Russia try to take those situations to the Security Council in the sense that it would make their case for Syria also much stronger?
I think that Putin is not the kind of leader that Russians had in Khrushchev or Brezhnev. He's more a Russian nationalist. He doesn't go that far. And in order for him to be a real global leader, he's going to have to learn. In the case of the Chinese, there's a corruption in the Chinese communist leadership that they're focusing too much on money and not enough on the fact that there's going to have to be an armed deterrent, as the United States has circled both Russia and China with bases and new alliances. So they don't want to anger the United States without understanding that you must stand. And there's a great hypocrisy because people look at President Obama as a Nobel Prize winner who can lament mass murder in Aurora, Colorado, but yet can have people murdered that he picks out in his own office, as well as have people murdered where you have this Zionist ambassador running Yemen, and you have death squads armed by the United States slaughtering people in Libya, slaughtering people in Syria. And right now, I don't think that folks have really realized that we really have a monster that's leading the world to war as we have economic decline and declension. So the Chinese and the Russians have got to figure out how they can be even more aggressive, and that counts on the leadership having some real soul searching to realize that the time has come for the world to no longer be a monopolar or unipolar world. It must be a multipolar world where there are many significant powers.
All right, we're going to have to leave it there. That was Randy Short with the Baltimore chapter of the Southern Christian Leadership Conference, joining us there from studios in Washington. Mr. Short, thank you for your comments here on Press TV, indeed.